And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elis! Albert Elis! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, away we go tonight here with Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. They are the presenting sponsors of this show, and we thank them very much for getting us on the air. John and his firm, personal injury attorney, 713-322-HURT. We have a lot to talk about here tonight. Aaron Raybould, thank you as always for being behind the glass tonight. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. What was the I tuned into Fred and AJ late today. What was the main topic?
Just more drama between the Texans and Deshaun Watson a lot.
Yeah. So does anybody know if he actually had some sort of an agreement when he signed his contract that he would have a say or be included in who the general manager would be?
It wasn't in his contract, but he was apparently told by owner Cal McNair that when we do make these hires, you will be involved and we will ask your opinion and everything.
Well, that would sound pretty binding to me, wouldn't it?
I mean, I don't, you know, fault him for being upset about it.
Yeah.
For them telling him, hey, we're at least going to listen or interview your guys, and then as far as the GM goes, you don't even talk to the guys he wanted. But at some point, you've got to either move on or you're just going to keep kicking and screaming like a child.
Fair enough. All right, here's what we got tonight. We've got Dave Major, St. John's head coach. You know why? Because Dave Major coached, well, a man who was a new signing for the Houston Dynamo, Tim Parker, a center back. And you remember last week in this show, Todd Ramos promised you that the Dynamo would be looking at a new center back. He said, we hope to sign him next week. Well, how about that? It happens today on the day of the show. Todd Ramos, the Dynamo head coach, will be on the program. Dave Major, who coached Tim Parker at St. John's, he will join the show. He's a childhood friend of mine, by the way. Done an amazing job with the St. John's program. Now, for all you journalists and podcasters out there around the Houston Dynamo, sharpen your pencils. Start typing. Rachel Daly, St. John's. Tim Parker, St. John's. There you go. Just gave you a nice article you can write about the two and their times in Jamaica, Queens. That's not an easy place for a college coach to build a program when you're going up against the ACC and top draws around the country, you know, in manicured fields and things like that. It's not easy. Dave Major's done an amazing job. He's been to four college cups. He's won a national title. He's from New Jersey, like me and Todd Ramos. So he's a good man. He's going to join us tonight. He'll give us some great insight into Tim Parker. We're going to talk to Tab about all different things. If you want to hit me up with some questions for Tab, it's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. He will be joining the program tonight. James Clarkson, Houston Dash head coach. We'll have him on probably a little bit after 8 tonight. James will join the program. By the way, the phone lines will be open for Dash fans if you want to ask James questions. 713-780-3776. And then interview you are going to really love. Jordi Sunyer, who has been on the show a number of times, TV3 in Spain. He'll be on the program tonight here talking about everything going on at Barcelona, including Lionel Messi's first ever sending off, which remarkably happens in, I think, his 754th game. So a lot of different things going on at Barcelona right now. He'll take you behind the scenes of a club that's in huge financial stress and has huge financial problems. So Jordi Sunyer tonight. He's also going to talk about Real Madrid and Sergio Ramos being asked to take a pay cut, Zidane under pressure, a lot of different things going on when it comes to La Liga talk. 713-780-3776. You can weigh in tonight on the Tim Parker signing. How do you feel about it? Maxi Arruti as well. They're the two freshest signings for the Houston Dynamo, who are arguably right now in one of the most active periods ever as a soccer club when it comes to transactions. Pretty remarkable. And now you've got, in a short amount of time, Fafa Pico, Tyler Pascher, Joe Corona, Maxi Arruti, Tim Parker. Work ethic, blend of youth and experience, athleticism. What do you think about these five signings? Let's talk about it tonight, 713-780-3776. All right, first off, I'm going to get into Liverpool-Manchester United. Now, this was highly anticipated. I don't know if you get Peacock Premium. By the way, I will say to my friends and those who love this show, I do not work for Peacock, so I don't have all the answers for you. But I'm frustrated like you that this is additional funding to get these games. And, of course, they put Liverpool-Manchester United on it, which is the most anticipated sports event in the world this past weekend by a long, long shot. First half, Manchester United defending very deep. You're sitting there at home and you're watching the game and you're wondering, you know, can they withstand this dominant pressure and the ball possession of Liverpool, the territorial possession? Liverpool seemed to be just a touch or a pass away from it and from the game's first goal. And, you know, you're saying to yourself, wow, I mean, does Manchester United need to counter this pressure a little bit more with some of their own? It happened a couple of times on rare counterattacks that looked dangerous. But for the most part, they played a conservative in the first half. I didn't think Fred or Paul Pogba were that good in the first half. I thought Fred struggled, quite frankly. I think Pogba was serviceable. Both of those guys played better in the second half for Manchester United. But maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know, just playing the game of, okay, break us down. We're going to defend deep. And maybe that's not the thing you want us to do. And that might play into our attitude of playing the first 45 minutes like this. Now, without any question, Liverpool is without a vital part of their attack. And listen carefully to me, Virgil van Dijk. I said vital part of their attack. Also a vital part of their defending. I think without the ability of him to hit the long ball over distance to start the attack from central defense because of his great passing skills, there's a tie-in there with some of the things that are going on, and especially a tie-in with the outside backs and their ability to get forward. Trent Alexander and Robertson, you know, to creep higher up the field and get into the attack. But Liverpool's sputtering right now. One goal in four games. They're still the favorites. And I would say Manchester City right now is trending up. But don't take anything away from Manchester United. This is a big point, and I know people were, if you're United fans, are, oh, this was our time to take Liverpool. Yeah, that's fair. On the other hand, would you have bet your bottom dollar you'd be where you were after that game in first place? Now, also, don't forget about Virgil van Dijk when it comes to Liverpool. He's so mobile. He takes up so many great defensive positions that they can really squeeze teams and push high up the field. They seem to be a little bit deeper and a little bit more conservative, and they had to be very different with Jordan Henderson playing as a center back in this game, along with Fabinho. Also, Shaqiri getting a start for Liverpool. So, yeah, maybe is a little bit of a semi-crisis. United had seven guys in and around the 18-yard box for most of the first half and for large portions of the second half. But the second half becomes a different story, and you can agree or disagree. 713-780-3776. United, I think, had the better chances on this day. One after Luke Shaw cut a ball back to Bruno Fernandes, and then Paul Pogba, who got a clear chance from an angle, who just kind of crashed his hit right at Alisson, who made the two big saves on those plays. So what is it for Liverpool right now? Sure, it's Virgil van Dijk not available. Sure, COVID, lack of creativity maybe out of midfield, Fabinho's injuries, maybe lack of sharpness right now with Mane, Firmino, and Salah. So, you know, I don't think it's panic time. I don't think anybody could have expected what happened with them in the past last year when they won the title could occur again. I mean, that was just a remarkable year. So Manchester United, for me, the MVPs, Luke Shaw, who, by the way, Jose Mourinho couldn't stand, Harry Maguire, Lindelof, Juan Bissaka, the back four were solid as could be, blocked a lot of shots, got in front of a lot of crosses. Rashford gave effort. I think he in a game like this with the rare counterattack, he lacked a couple of good decisions in critical moments, including one when Cavani had made a great run off his left shoulder. He should have played him in. He didn't. Here it is by the numbers in the analytics. Liverpool, 66% possession. Manchester United, 34, for what it's worth. I think that's fair. Liverpool, 17 shots, 3 on goal. Manchester United, 8 with 4 on goal. But again, two of those very clear chances. Corner, 7-3 in favor of Liverpool. So, if you're a Liverpool, Manchester United fan, you want to weigh in on that, 713-780-3776. The other game that I watched this weekend, and I suggest you reach out sometime, and you may not have beIN Sport or ESPN Plus or ESPN, but man, there's some great games in the Serie A, and I'll tell you right now, Inter Milan took apart Juventus, the better team tactically, came out, you know, in this 3-5-2. Vidal scores against his former team, Juventus, in the 12th minute. Lukaku is occupying defenders. Lautaro Martinez is. And then they get, in the second half, just an amazing moment where there's just, like, you could drive a bus through the space that was down the middle and the heart of Juventus. And Bastoni hits a direct ball, and you look up, and all of a sudden, Barella is in. And, I mean, he hits a screamer into the upper corner when he's one-on-one going to goal with Chesney. But it was a huge screw-up at the back and misalignment and improper movement from the backs of Juventus. Chiellini was kind of out on the right with Lukaku. But very impressive from Inter Milan. You got AC Milan back now. They're playing well. Zlatan Ibrahimovic with 2 goals. So now you got a bit of a race, and Juventus is off the pace now by 7 points in the Serie A. So between La Liga, the Serie A, and the Premier League, you've got some real good races and some real good challenges for getting into the Champions League and competition. And I think COVID does have something to do with it. I think it's so much more interesting and entertaining when you just don't have these one or two teams that are running away with it. 713-780-3776 is a number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Today, Leicester 2-0 over Chelsea. More troubles for Frank Lampard. Ndidi and Madison. Let's not take away anything from Leicester City, who now for the moment are top of the Premier League. They get the goals for the Foxes. Both of them come in the first half. There's some talk about Frank Lampard being fired. That would be sad. And there's people saying, did he get this job too quick after Derby County? West Ham United, 2-1 over West Bromwich Albion today. Tomorrow you got Manchester City and the Villains. That's a good game. Aston Villa, Jack Grealish. And then Fulham, home to Manchester United. Fulham will be without Anthony Robinson. Over the weekend, Arsenal 3-0 over Newcastle, or that might have been Monday. Steve Bruce still says, quote, I'm 100% the man to turn things around. Well, good for Arsenal. And good for Mikel Arteta. Mesut Ozil arrived in Turkey to play for Fenerbahce. That dance is over. These dances with players that go on and on and on, boy, they can be so destructive for teams. Pep Guardiola, head of tomorrow for Aston Villa, says, I'm only focused on Villa tomorrow. Not looking beyond that. People were trying to, you know, get him to talk about winning the title again and all those kind of things. So those are some interesting games on tap tomorrow. I think you're going to like that. In Major League Soccer, Phil Neville will now be the coach of Inter Miami. He's going to get great support there with Chris Henderson coming from the Seattle Sounders. DC United has named a 38-year-old coach, Hernan Losada, who comes from Beerschot in Belgium. He'll become the youngest manager in Major League Soccer. And this is the greatest quote, I think, if you're a DC United fan, you may still be celebrating at this very moment. Because he said, quote, high-energy soccer with and without the ball. So that's what's coming for DC United fans. And happy for them that, you know, that we're not going to have to look at this just insulting deep defending soccer. I'm sorry. I just don't know how people think you're going to get fans coming to games with that. No wonder Wayne Rooney left. I mean, the poor guy was at the halfway line with the team sitting back defending on their 18. He'd come 15 yards into midfield to get the ball, and very rarely did he get people getting in front of him. It was rough stuff. Rough stuff. That's no fun. David Moyes, by the way, is the coach of West Ham United. So it's kind of a comeback for him after a really rough time at Manchester United. So David Moyes is doing some very good things with West Ham United here. And it's always good to see somebody that's been knocked down, elevate things, take it to another level, make a comeback. We love a good comeback. I love a good comeback with players that, sometimes fall victim to bad injuries, like Christy Mewis, who scored last night for the U.S. Women's National Team in a 4-0 win over Colombia. Colombia totally overmatched. I mean, you just look at the American athlete to the Colombian athlete, the difference is just so visible to the eye. The U.S. winning 4-0, and it was all Mewis's scoring goals in that one. So we'll talk to James Clarkson about that tonight here on the program. And a lot more tonight in and around the Dynamo. Let's start talking about the Houston Dynamo, 713-780-3776. All right, Albert DeLeese, Mauro Manotas are gone, and you've got Fafa Pico, pace, wide type of player. Tyler Pascher has some tendencies that look and qualities that look like Sporting Kansas City's Scottish midfielder. Tyler Pascher cuts in on his left. Johnny Russell, that's the name I'm looking for. You got Joe Corona coming in at 29 years of age with national team experience in Mexico. Maxi Arruti, mobility type forward. So maybe we're going to see a front three, and we're going to ask Top Ramos this. Maybe we're going to see a front three that's all about movement, mobility, and interchanging positions. And then you got your center back. He promised it last week, Tim Parker. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, if you want me to ask specific questions on your behalf. To Dynamo coach Tab Ramos, he will be on in the first hour, but coming up next, he is the St. John's head coach, Dave Mazur. He is coach Tim Parker. He's going to weigh in on that. You can also call into the show during that time period, 713-780-3776. A quick word here as we go to break for Advantage BMW Midtown. I've leased from them. Advantage BMW Midtown is like no other. I love BMWs. I drive a 5 Series. I love it. I'm getting it back tomorrow from the shop. It is the ultimate driving machine. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered. Sales, service, finance, it can be done really, really easy. They're great down there. You ask for Justin. You ask for Steven. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. Get in the 3.5, a 7 Series. Get the X5 maybe. Throw the bike in the back, the dog, you name it. You can do it. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Advantage BMW Midtown. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It's going to roll on with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm presenting.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm Vlatko Andonovski, the coach of the U.S. Women's National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Well, Vlatko Andonovski and the U.S. Women's National Team, a 4-0 win last night over Colombia. Probably just a great relief to get back and get some competition and some differing players. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit about that with James Clarkson a little bit later on in the show. It has been a very big transactional period for the Houston Dynamo, a number of different moves. We have mentioned it quite a bit here already on the show. Fafa Pico acquired from FC Dallas, Joe Corona picked up from the LA Galaxy, Maxi Arruti now coming in, Tyler Pascher, a USL signing, which doesn't always happen with Major League Soccer teams. I like seeing that. But Tim Parker comes from St. John's University, and Big question in the offseason, one of the big questions for Todd Bramos and the Houston Dynamo was, well, what are we going to do at the center back position? So Tim Parker is going to come in from the New York Red Bulls. I think it's $450 in general allocation money. There's some things going on here that should make Houston Dynamo fans excited. Joining me now, great childhood friend, went on to be a professional soccer player, the architect of the St. John's men's program, which, by the way, will play on February 13th against St. Joseph's in Queens, New York at Belsen Stadium, which Dr. Dave Major also helped get built for his program, and he joins us now. Dave, thank you very much for coming on the program, short notice.
Thanks, Glenn. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's always easy for me to reach in the Rolodex. I never get a no from you, so it's a great thing to get you. And I want to remind my listeners, Dave's program has been to the NCAA College Cup many times. It won the 96 national title. So it is a very storied program, St. John's University. And Dave, one of the reasons I bring you on tonight is to talk a little bit about Tim Parker. So I will just give you an open platform. Tell us and tell my listeners and the Dynamo fans what they're going to get in Tim Parker.
Okay, so, you know, I think, you know, it's a little bit sad for me is, you know, Tim played for me for 4 years at St. John's, was our captain, and really did a great job. He grew up on Long Island, played for Hicksville, has been a very humble and blue-collar kid growing up, and was a phenomenal athlete, and, you know, he moved on and played for the Whitecaps and did quite well, and then I think there was some, you know, an added, you know, idea of maybe trying to get home to the Red Bulls, which he was able to do, and move forward in that era. So he's done very well for two other clubs in Major League Soccer, first the Whitecaps, then he had a very good stint with the Red Bulls and captained them a bunch of times, as well as just being a stalwart in the back. And I thought, you know, this year, you know, with the COVID here in the area and all across the country, I had an opportunity to watch more games than I usually could. And I thought Tim really had his best season. You know, he excelled in the back, dominated, and any balls behind the defense, was, you know, growing in confidence on the ball, and really was a true leader for the team. You know, he's got great interpersonal skills, and, you know, he's, you know, grown and has a good personality for the team. He expects a lot of himself. And, you know, then he expects a lot of people around him, and he wants to drive his team to win. He's very competitive. And I think that makes him, you know, really in his prime as he heads into Houston to really showcase his best talents of his career or ahead of him, you know, for the Dynamo.
27 years of age, and if you remember, and I remember the 2018 season as well, when the Red Bulls won the Supporters Shield and he was partnered with Aaron Long, and I was like, oh, okay, it's pretty interesting. Two American center backs here anchoring a Supporters Shield winner. Tell me a little bit more about him, you know, because as you know very well, and you know Todd Bramos very well, having played against him, yep. Like myself, and we always heard about Tab growing up being older than him. You know, he's playing a very aggressive 4-3-3. That's the idea here. These signings are kind of gearing towards that. Talk about Tim Parker, you know, defending in open fields one-on-one against guys, because we obviously know these types of aggressive formats can be breached.
Yep. So I think a little bit, you know, the Red Bull play, you know, I wouldn't say a similar system to what Tab does. You know, Tab will push forward and wants to be, you know, aggressive and very technical and very pressure-oriented, which exposes your back line. And, you know, Tim's does the same with the Red Bulls. Red Bulls play, a high-tempo game as well, exposing their back line. And Tim's got the speed, and he's got the kind of the maturity in his decision-making, knowing how to run across somebody, get it back, and make really good decisions to maybe make things that would be difficult scenarios look easy for himself. And I think you're going to get a real athletic guy back there who's developed a lot of composure and great decision-making, which is going to really elevate the team as well as a leader back there. And I think, you know, the way you guys press up, and I was quite impressed, you know, a lot with Tim's, you know, really passing between the lines this year as he really developed a little more guile in his games to kind of find some more deceptive passes out of the back, link the ball to the right players, and show the kind of really technical progression in that kind of lineup that I think is going to be good as well as his great defensive ability and his ability on set pieces to have an impact. So, you know, I think it's exciting times down there in Houston. I'm sure Tim is going to be, I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm sure I'll talk to him in the next day or two, that he's going to be really excited about the opportunity in front of him. And, I think it should bode well getting, a young player who's got an older mentality stepping into the team is going to expect a lot from the people around him and expect a lot from himself.
Great stuff here from St. John's head coach Dave Mazur. We're talking about Tim Parker today, announced as a signing. It was initially put out, and then there was a little bit of protocol that had to be finished up, and the signing went through. Let me go back to you talking about his passing range and the fact that he's playing between the lines. Now, is he a guy, and I know how I would answer this, I think, but is he a guy that you see can hit a long direct ball? And if a team's really pressed forward and maybe slightly overcommitted, he wins a ball. Can he hit a long diagonal and spring somebody?
Yes, he certainly can. But I think, just taking his my own observations from that season, he was better at finding that kind of attacking midfield player, wide guy in a more of an attacking position, because when you're pressing high, there's not really room to play behind, right? You kind of play behind when you're in trouble or tactically when you're under pressure. So he does hit long balls, but that happens a little bit more, when a team is pressed forward, when you're trying to make sure you're being safe and being pretty simple in the back line and you're under a decent amount of pressure. But I think when you're under control of the game and you win balls, especially in transition, he was quite good at finding some good, what I call balls that allow you to, turn and get your team forward. And those are important, those are important passes to be able to, relinquish pressure, break pressure, and allow your team to continue to attack. So I think that's going to become a nice combination of the safety in the back as well as this kind of extra ability to find, good players in good advanced positions.
He's St. John's head coach Dave Mazur, tremendous program in Queens, New York. You know, when I think of St. John's, Dave, and I know you think of this too, because growing up, we both knew Louis Carnesecca with the St. John's basketball. I think of two guys now. I think of Louis, and I think of you, buddy.
Thank you. Louis still doing well for all those big St. John's basketball fans down there in the Houston area and across the country. He just celebrated his 95th birthday and is doing remarkably well and, still our living legend and interacts almost on a daily basis with the athletic department, our basketball program. So we're all proud of Louis' great success, his longevity, and his impact that he still has on St. John's athletics.
Yeah, that's amazing. Such a passionate coach, much like yourself. At what point when you got Tim Parker, did you believe he was a next level player, or maybe you thought that when he was a freshman? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I did think it when he was a freshman. We actually played Tim wide in his first year as an outside back because when he went forward, he was a handful, right? And at the time, I don't think, he was quite ready. We had a pretty good, we actually had, I'm trying to remember, I think we had Connor Lade with us, who was actually played in for the Red Bulls for many years, kind of holding in a little bit more of a central position. So we kind of let it develop, and then Timmy played center back for 3 years for it. But I knew then, he had such good, he was well-balanced as a player. He was strong. He's very fast. He's got a great dimension to him as far as, how he's built, how he takes care of himself. And, he really just kind of makes a lot of good plays and good decisions. And I knew that physically there weren't many soccer players built like him. And I still feel, as a center back, he probably has, the best pace of almost any of the center backs that we have in our national team program as well, So hopefully as he continues to gel and does well, he'll get another shot within the national team program.
Yeah, he's got a couple of caps with the U.S. national team as well. All right, I'm going to change gears here a little bit. Because of COVID, it's been a really, really challenging time for college soccer programs. Talk a little bit about where you guys are. I'm on your website right now. I do see that you got games lined up for February and March, but talk about the challenges of this, Dave, and then kind of what's going on with NCAA college soccer.
Okay, so I think, you know, the ACC and some of the a couple of Southern schools played during the fall term, and they had a good they had a like kind of a half schedule, and you know the NCAA changed all the fall sports to pick up in the spring. So we have a spring schedule with the Big East Championship and an NCAA championship run. So everybody's very excited about that. You know, it's a little bit different as, you know, we were in the process of trying to get a, you know, kind of the 21st century model season, which I know you've talked about where you play, you know, more like once a week and have it in two areas. But it's an introduction for us to have our official season in spring. And, you know, all the players are excited about it and the coaches are excited. And in the fall, it was a good opportunity to learn. All the teams were able to train and play for the most part. And our kids really got a chance to kind of, you know, be in a training environment, which was a lot of fun to be in, to coach in, and have the players participate in. And now we're getting into the game schedule. And, you know, everybody's really excited across the country. And both the men's and women's programs are going to be at full slate, so there's going to be a lot of activity. And, you know, everybody has to stay healthy and, you know, remain, you know, follow the COVID regulations to the best that, you know, everybody can to keep everybody kind of safe and secure and, you know, push forward. I think, you know, both college football and college basketball have done a great job at, you know, kind of leading the way. And, you know, everybody's excited about the opportunities ahead.
What keeps you going, Dave? I mean, your passion just, you exude it all the time. You know, you remained in the game of soccer, not first and foremost for financial incentive, but because of your passion for the game. I know, you know, hanging around each other growing up and all the guys in New Jersey when we were growing up, the passion was there for the game. What keeps you going?
So, I mean, I really enjoy, you know, helping people grow and helping young adults grow. I like seeing the progress and success. I like trying to create a competitive environment. You know, I think one of the bigger challenges of coaching is kind of, you know, it's turned out to be that, you know, there's a disappointing part. Not everybody gets to play as many minutes as they want. Some people don't play every game. So, you know, dealing with those ups and downs, you know, is a, even as a coach, is something that you've got to, you know, you grow to kind of understand and try to, you know, get those people to be engaged and feel good about the program and progress forward. You know, it's become a more, you know, between our cell phones and everything else, it's become a more instant gratification kind of environment. And so trying to kind of, you know, help these young adults understand that everything doesn't happen at once and that we're going to progress through it and we're going to keep working towards a common goal, and we're going to do well in school, and we're going to be at a good university where the coach cares about you, and try to, you know, get better at soccer and trying to fit in. And it's not about being the best player on the field, but it's about understanding your role and seeing how you can fit in and what the coach needs from you, and then roles adjust. So, you know, I've had some players start out as forwards and end up as right backs, and some right backs end up as center forwards. So as you progress through, kids can get more and more opportunity as they gain more confidence and, you know, kind of do the right things and step forward. And so that development and that growth that I'm talking about, which has a lot of ups and downs in it, is really the exciting part of doing what I do day in and day out, is helping kids become better personally, which helps out their athletics and academics. And it kind of broadens their scope on life and gives them an opportunity to see more opportunity across the spectrum. And, you know, I'm proud to say that we've had a lot of kids go on to be professional players. We've had kids go on to become professional coaches, college coaches. And we have kids go on and become, you know, great ambassadors, especially in sport and business. And, you know, we have a couple doctors. So it's continues to be an inspiring journey, not only from myself, but from what the players provide me. So I feel like this is my first year. Every year feels like my first year. and I'm excited to be to get going and try to win some games.
Well, if you're fortunate to be coached by Dave Mazur, you just heard how special it can be and how much care and concern he has for student athletes. Dave Mazur, head coach of St. John's, joining us now. You and I had a really interesting conversation when it comes to talking about the ups and downs of anybody's career, and you know, this notion of everything is going to work out perfectly. We all know that's not a part of it, and human and player development includes disappointment. But you have a very talented daughter who's on her way to Indiana, so I'm sure you had some good discussions with her.
Yeah, no, she's on her own dime, so to speak. She works hard and is in, you know, just joining a great young program over there, Indiana Women's Soccer. And, you know, I'm just excited that she's going to be part of something out there and she's enjoying it. And, you know, I'm sure she'll do well.
Hey, exciting time for her as well. All right. So when you look at Major League Soccer and its growth, you know, from the early days, and it is pretty remarkable where it's come from all these different categories, whether it's infrastructure, attention, support, media, all these different things. The on-field product for you, how different is it now than from the early years? And tell me a little bit about what you're seeing now in MLS.
Interesting, you know, because I think, like, you know, the stadiums, the owners, and, you know, the passion that you see game in and game out because of this, you know, really, you know, high-level competition that's happening when you add more teams into the mix and you, you know, get some competitive owners. And kind of Don Garbage created this great mix of ownership and determination and great facilities and fan bases that all want to see your team do well. So that really creates this competitive environment that people like to see. You know, I may be a little bit, you know, versed, but I think, you know, in many ways, in the early years, there were some really special players like a Marco Echeverri, a Jaime Moreno, when Bob won in Chicago, you know, a Peter Nowak. So there were some really special players early on, you know, Valderrama down in Tampa. But, you know, I just think the overall depth and the competitiveness in the league is much better. And then you have your special players that have joined in, you know, and I guess, you know, the signing of Beckham made a big deal, big difference back, whatever it is, 12, 13 years ago, and allowed the league to continue to blossom and grow and, you know, get more and more some, you know, international players here, as well as to go with, you know, I'd like to say the college game has produced many, many players that have had long careers in MLS and have done really, really well and have provided a lot of excitement and energy to the game. And, you know, I think that will continue, you know. A lot of the colleagues across the country at a lot of the major universities and programs have done a great job at really nurturing talent from 17 to 20, 21, and then let them get into MLS. And I know MLS has had, you know, a little bit of a different version of the, you know, they have youth academies and they're pushing it, but, you know, you're still seeing that the college draft is coming up. You'll still see players will have impacts within these programs, you know, not only next year, but years after, every year. So there's a lot of farm systems available for Major League Soccer, and that's a good thing.
Dave, as always, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for your thoughts on Tim Parker, the college game. Keep up the tremendous work you're doing with student-athletes and with your program at St. John's.
You guys will be excited with Tim. The fans will love him. He's got a great personality. He's warm. He loves people, and he loves the game. And so he'll be a pleasure to be around and, you know, try to lift your team each and every day to help Cab win that championship that you guys are trying to get.
Thanks again, Dave. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break here now, and we're coming back with the head man, Tab Ramos, as we roll on here. Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
SportsMapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action, or check out SportsMapBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
All right, welcome back. Let's get right into it. We join up now with the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Tab Ramos. Tab, thank you very much for being patient through that commercial break, and appreciate having you on the show as always.
Hi, Glenn. Good to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you on. Well, let's talk about the business that occurred today here with Tim Parker. I know last week on the show you said we're hopeful to get a center back signed here. You got it done. You got to be pretty happy about getting Tim Parker.
Yeah, I think we said on your show last week that we'd have likely three announcements in the next 7 days. And, you know, we added two players and a coach, right? So there's three announcements, as promised.
I love it.
No, at this point, we're very... What's that?
I said I love it. I love the way you predicted it and you followed through. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you never know, because these things take a long time. You know, all these situations, and when you have to... us bringing players in, you know, the situation with Tim Parker has been ongoing, you know, for a while. You know, he's a player that we expressed our interest to the Red Bulls as soon as their season ended, which was about a couple weeks after ours. So it's been a while. So I'm glad that we have that behind us now, and that we have, you know, such a great leader and someone who plays that position so well in the back, and who fits into the way we want to play really well.
Tab Ramos joining us, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Listen to these signings: Fafa Pico, Joe Corona, Maxi Arruti, now Tim Parker, Tyler Pasher coming from Indy 11, and of course a very experienced assistant coach in Martin Vazquez. Take us to Maxi Arruti now, because you're really stockpiling a lot of quick, athletic, and mobile-type strikers now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at all the players that we signed, there's one quality that they all have that I think it's really important, in particular for me. I think if I were to look at the careers of all these players that we brought in, I don't think you can find any moment during their careers when they quit on a play, or they quit in a game, or that they weren't trying their hardest for their team to win. And I think that's a really important quality, and in particular for a club like ours, as we're trying to build on the field and change a little bit of the mentality off the field. I think these are, you know, five players that I think bring a lot to the table, both on and off the field.
Tab Ramos joining us here. Now, are these players, Tab, that, you know, you wrote down on a piece of paper that you've targeted and you've gone after and acquired, or is it a combination of that, and then all of a sudden maybe somebody comes available that really might fit your system perfectly?
Well, I mean, Fafa was certainly our number one target as soon as the season ended, because we felt that we needed to replace speed. And there's very few guys who have it, and there's no way to train for it. And so whenever you can... You know, you can go after a player who has speed and unmatched speed, which is the case in with Fafa. I think we needed to go after that hard and try to make that happen. So that was one, certainly. And then the rest of the players, you know, Pasher, I've been following really for about 2 to 3 years. I've been watching him play. You know, being the U-20 coach, I had an opportunity to watch many USL games, just following other guys. And a couple times I got to see Pasher play, because he played on the opposing team of players I was watching, and he always impressed me, and I always thought, you know, if I ever get a chance to coach an MLS, that's a player that I want to bring. And, you know, on top of it, he had a great season this year in the USL, and I thought it was the perfect time for him to make the jump, and, you know, and he agreed, and he was happy to come. So definitely one we wanted. And the case for Arruti is the same. I mean, he's not necessarily your typical number nine that scores all these goals every year, but he's the hard worker who will get the goals. And, you know, if you surround him with players of the type of speed that we're going to have up top, I think that he'll find himself in front of goal a lot, and he'll help us with our press as well. And then Tim Parker, obviously, is a very important piece. I think, you know, and I think I called it a fundamental piece, but He really is, because as you look at the future for this club, and obviously as a coach, you never know how long you're going to be at a club, because, you know, you inevitably depend on results. But what I can say about Parker is that this is a player. Sometimes it's a player that can have years and years at a club and create a culture on his own. And I think Tim Parker is one of those guys. I think he's a main piece for any club, and I feel we're very, very lucky. The Houston Dynamo is very lucky to have him.
Yeah, and as a college coach, Dave Measure, who I know you know from St. John's and being in New Jersey like me, says just a lot of tremendous things about him from a leadership perspective, what he demands out of himself and others. And you had mentioned you need a leadership-type guy there, so you've got that guy. Kenny on Twitter said, 3 DP spots for the Dynamo, will they all be filled? That was his question.
The answer to that is I don't know at the moment. You know, I think we're going after a couple pieces at a time. I think we're sort of starting to glue the team together, and we're starting to see what it looks like. We couldn't really be going after at the moment, let's say a big DP, when we weren't really sure what the holes were going to be when we were done with some of the things that we knew we could do. Because, you know, ultimately, obviously, we can always be complaining about the things we can't do or the players we cannot sign because maybe they're too expensive. And instead of focusing on that, I wanted to really focus when the season ended on the things we could do. And so we're doing all the things that we can do so that at the end, maybe we can do that one thing that's a little extra that will put us and set us over the top. And I think everyone is open to that, but I don't think we're ready for that yet.
Fair enough, Tab. Tab Ramos joining us, Houston Dynamo head coach. You got the college draft coming up. I know you've probably done a lot of work with your staff on that. What are your hopes going into this draft?
Yeah, I mean, now that we have obviously that we signed Parker, it puts us at ease a little bit because this has been delayed now for a while. You know, this signing, and we didn't want to go into the draft without this having happened because it would put a lot more pressure on us to draft a center back. And not only that, because drafting a center back is not really the most important piece. The most important piece would be that we would have been drafting a center back and immediately would have to put pressure on this center back to learn quickly and play and make a difference and be good. And that's not a good scenario normally for a college player. So now it gives us a little bit of peace going into the draft, and we can be a little bit more selective about selecting a good player. And we could potentially pick another center back because there are a couple of very good center backs in the draft, but there's also a lot of attacking talent. So we're obviously this Parker thing just happened. I think we'll take our day tomorrow to really focus on our guy. Obviously, we have a list of about 40 players right now that we've ranked. From best, just purely on their ability, from best to worst, let's say, from 1 to 40. And tomorrow we'll really dig into that and figure out what the best scenario for us will be.
Yeah, that'll be interesting on Thursday with the draft. It's a great mechanism to get players that don't count heavily against the salary cap and could be great future pros. Boniac Garcia, Minor Figueroa, are they going to be re-signed? Is that something that's still in the works and being discussed?
Well, I believe Minor has already signed. I think he's been signed for a couple of weeks now. I think the Boniac thing is something that's ongoing. It's a conversation, but of course, I'd like to have both of them back. And I've been pretty clear about that. They're important pieces. As much as we want to say, hey, we want to get younger, we want to get more athletic, all those things, I think there are certain type of people on the team that make the team better. On and off the field, and both of those guys are, I think, examples to everyone else. So, and we need them, and we'd like to move forward with both.
Tab Ramos joining us here. A tremendous insight here onto the Houston Dynamo and what's happening. So, is there any way we can ask you what would be the priority now? Is it another defender? Is it another midfielder? What would be the priority in the head coach's mind, Tab Ramos, right now when it would come to a next signing?
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to add one more player in the back. You know, that I think that would help. We likely could add another player at midfield. But we'll see. We'll see what comes up over the next week. We're not desperate to add right now. I'd like to see, you know, when we get a little bit more information about when we're going to start preseason and take our time a little bit. We already have another player identified that we'd likely get moving on quickly over the next couple of days. But it depends. You know, it depends. We're not desperate, and that puts us in a good situation to negotiate.
Tab, I got to think you're feeling pretty good right now with some of these signings and getting some of the players that you really wanted. So I know the work doesn't stop, but you must feel pretty satisfied you got some key pieces here.
I do. I actually do. Obviously, as a coach, you know, I think every coach in the world, including, you know, Real Madrid and Man City, everybody's always saying that, hey, we could use a couple extra players, right? Everybody says the same thing. But at the end of the day, I think you got to look at your team and see what you have, and see if you're happy with the players you have. And I'm looking forward to, you know, to coaching this team. You know, I'm looking forward to the guys we brought in, blending in with the guys we already had, and we'll see what happens. But excited about this season and getting started and changing the dynamic of what this team has been over the last couple of years.
Well, Tab, listen, thank you so much for enlightening us tonight here. It's always great to have you on the program. We love having you on, and I think the communication with the fan base and me personally, I love the interviews with you. Thank you for that. And listen, congratulations. Good luck in the draft on Thursday, and we look forward to having you back on.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Tab Ramos. Some great insight there into the new signings, Fafa Pico, Joe Corona, Maxi Arruti, Tim Parker, Tyler Pascher. Pascher's got some tendencies that seem very similar to me to one Johnny Russell at Sporting Kansas City. Now, listen, I understand what you're saying. Well, it's got to translate to MLS. But Tab Ramos has confidence in him and that it will. So, exciting good times. We're seeing some things here that seem to make sense in putting this all together, getting the right characters in, and also getting the athleticism improved and positional needs as well. So this is great stuff. Exciting stuff for the Houston Dynamo and Tab Ramos. We'll take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to John and his firm. Personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com. They work for you 24/7, nights and weekends, and they do get soccer on the air. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.